This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Islam21c.com's Big Discussion. My name is Mahmoud Saeed, and I'm going to bring up a topic today, inshallah, with our esteemed guest, Dr. Sheikh Haitham Al Haddad from the Islamic Fatwa Council. I'd first like to begin by welcoming you all to this show and this beautifully blessed and auspicious month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah to accept all our deeds and to forgive us of our sins and make us take full benefit from this blessed month of Ramadan, inshallah. Today's show is going to be all about a quite divisive topic, something which becomes of acute concern to the people of the United Kingdom and the Northern European cities, mainly because the times of Fajr become very, very early.
Got a bus on here,
and I'd like to welcome our guest, Sheikh Haitham Al Haddad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, in today's time, we have an issue that sadly we only talk about it during Ramadan or just before Ramadan.
Yep.
And it's something which isn't obviously related to Ramadan, it's related to the whole year. It's about our Fajr, which we pray every day in the mornings.
Yeah.
And but the sad thing, I mean, not the sad thing, more the realistic thing is that people are more acutely concerned about the beginning of Fajr because they have to begin their fast. They have to stop eating and drinking. They have to stop having conjugal relationships with their spouses.
Yeah.
So the beginning of Fajr becomes acutely important for the Muslim Ummah.
Yeah.
Now, before we go into the actual topic of the differences of opinion that we see around the world, here in UK in particular, I'd like to go over one issue which I think in many of our discussions I've had with people, and I've seen you with the students of knowledge, not only general people, but students of knowledge as well, and shuyukh and scholars. A common question that seems to be arising now that Ramadan has come into the long summer months, yeah, around the world, is the issue of difficulty, of haraj. Yeah, and some of the reasonings and some of the decision making that's made in choosing timetables, yeah, has resulted in people citing this issue of haraj. So what is the scope in Islam? Yeah, in that if I'm finding fasting extremely difficult, and the majority of people are finding fasting extremely difficult, then isn't it more reasonable to choose a time in a period of difference of opinion, yeah, which is a bit easier on the people, so that they can at least fast without falling ill?
Yeah. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, jazakallah khair, brother Mahmoud. May Allah Jalla wa Ala reward the brothers in Islam 21C for this initiative. Yes, this is a very important topic. This is a very divisive topic, as you have said. And as you rightly said, that it is very sad to discuss this topic and to keep discussing this topic now and then during the month of Ramadan. But for me, wallahi for me, the saddest thing is that we are discussing this issue while our ummah are suffering from real illnesses. And our ummah is suffering now the cooperation of the enemies of the ummah on our ummah. Just before I came, I saw some clips of people being slaughtered in Fallujah, in Iraq, by the military troops, whether from the Rafida or from other sects, or even from the Iraqi government. There, allegedly, that they are fighting ISIS. It is very sad, and we don't want to neglect those people. Allah Jalla wa Ala put trust on the people of knowledge and took the covenant from the people of knowledge to clarify the truth. To clarify the truth, not regarding matters related to Salah and Siyam and Tahara. Yes, they are important, but also to clarify things related to what is happening to our ummah. And it is the responsibility of the leaders of the ummah, then the scholars of the ummah, then the masses of the ummah to support our brothers and sisters wherever they are, especially in Fallujah and Iraq now, and then Syria and other places. However, Our topic today, Islam, is a very comprehensive way of life. And being worried about what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Fallujah or in Iraq or other places does not mean that we neglect other topics, especially something related to our ibadah, the validity of our ibadah. And as we know, that the Prophet ﷺ was carrying jihad, but he was also worried about the salawat, the fajr salah, and he did not miss the sunnah of the salat al-fajr, even when he was going for jihad, and he rarely missed qiyam al-layl. So we need to be balanced in our viewpoint.
So you're saying from that that the act of jihad is extremely difficult, and yet they were still concerned with the praying their prayers in the
exactly. And being concerned for the ummah doesn't mean that we should not be worried about our salawat, our fasting, our ibadat. No. Islam looks after this and Islam looks after this. In fact, our ibadat, once we perfect our ibadat, not from a technical perspective, but from the relationship, from the essence of the ibadah. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. If the ibadah leads, or if our ibadah leads us to the taqwa that Allah Jalla wanted it behind the ibadah, then our ummah will be definitely, the situation of our ummah will improve. It will not be fixed because we need other conditions as well, but it will help to fix towards fixing the situation of our ummah. Now let us go back to the discussion of this episode, which is the start of the fast, and the Fajr time, and the controversy that is taking place around Fajr timing. Now, as you rightly said, that many people in the northern hemisphere, they claim that the Fajr is so early, which makes the day that we must fast is quite long, and it leads to haraj and mashaqqa, and hence we need to take the lenient opinion. Generally speaking, we can agree on this, but if we scrutinize this statement, we will find that it has so many flaws. First of all, haraj and mashaqqa, for some people, 12 hours is
haraj, and just for those who don't know difficulty, the Arabic, yeah. Difficulty.
You know? Yeah, difficulty and hardship. Difficulty and hardship is very subjective. Now, for those who, maybe for some people, 12 hours is haraj and mashaqqa is difficulty and hardship. Those who, here we are living in the West, there are many the new Muslims. We know, and maybe you remember some of the non-Muslims, the new Muslims that we dealt with. Yes, who were unable to leave drugs. And for them to abandon drugs for 12 hours, this is an extreme haraj and mashaqqa.
I just apologize to the viewers. I mean, there is a bit of a buzzing noise, I know, and thing. They're trying to fix that. But if you can bear with us, inshallah. You can also follow this discussion on hashtag the big discussion, or hashtag 18 degrees, or Islam31c.com. Please do follow that, inshallah. But bear with us as they fix this noise. But inshallah, but I'm sure you can follow the discussion anyhow, inshallah.
Yeah, so I was saying that difficulty and haraj and mashaqqa is very subjective. For some people, 12 hours is mashaqqa. For other people, 14 hours. For other people, 16 hours, 18 hours. Now, if we go down that line, what are we going to say to our brothers and sisters who fast in Norway? It happened, I experienced this myself. Last year, I had to fast one of the days of Shawwal in Norway. Last year or the year before, one of those years. And Maghrib, yes, Maghrib Adhan was at 10:47. Even if we say that their Fajr starts at 2:30, we are talking about 11 o'clock. We are talking about Maghrib that is taking place at 11 o'clock and Fajr that is taking place at 2:30. Okay? Which is 3.5 hours, which is extremely difficult. That brother who lives in Iceland, and in certain areas above the Arctic.
Isn't there a different ruling though for the people who live in the polar regions? That
yeah, we will come to that. But my point is, see, the Arctic It starts at 66.
66 degrees, that's degrees. The latitude of 66.
Now going towards...
Just to reference that for people, here in London, the latitude is 51.
Yeah. If we go, imagine, we go up north towards the Arctic. The day is becoming so long and the night is becoming too short, but there is a night. So for the people who live just below, like the city of Bodø, yeah, in Norway, yeah, their fajr, or sorry, their night is maybe 2 hours. And their day, they can see the sun rising and the sun setting is almost 22 hours or 21 hours. So what are we going to say to those people? So the point is, let us not use haraj and mashaqqa to invent a new opinion and then to claim that this opinion is a valid opinion and to adopt the opinion. I think, to be honest with you, Brother Mahmoud, before I leave this point, haraj and mashaqqa, for me, it is like an emotional blackmailing in order to force a certain opinion over the others.
Okay. So, dear brothers and sisters, regarding this issue, the Sheikh's talk, we've had a number of questions with regards to this, and we've had a number of people actually asking about this topic on difficulty for the people. Some people even falling ill this Ramadan at the beginning and so forth. Now, what I'd like you first to do is check out the Twitter feed, the hashtag, the 18 degrees. Send us more questions as you want, inshallah, as long as on the specific topic. I know there are some people asking other questions, but specifically if you've got questions regarding haraj, difficulty, mashaqqa, then please do send those questions through, inshallah. But just to summarize what Sheikh was saying, is that the difficulty is almost being used by different sides of the argument, or those who want to use an easier or more lenient time as a reasoning for adopting their timetable, as opposed to using it from using the issue of haraj and mashaqqa from an Islamic perspective, where it genuinely is a problem, and so forth. But yeah, as you said, doesn't it differ between different people? And
exactly.
Is it also similar, but to the example given about, say, for example, someone starving and having pork?
Yes. Okay.
Can we have that? So from day to day we change.
Yes.
Right?
So let us come to that. Technical discussion about the issue of haraj and mashaqqa. Now, if we say that there is a haraj and mashaqqa, we need to look first of all whether the start of fajr, yeah, is fixed, or it has, or there are valid opinions regarding the beginning of fajr, and then we can choose one of those opinions. Yeah, if there are valid opinions regarding the start of fajr, whether it starts at this time or that time, then we can look at the issue of the haraj and mashaqqa, the difficulty. But if there is a fixed time for the beginning of the fajr, yeah, then we cannot use haraj and mashaqqa to reduce the timing. Yes? The Sharia gave us a solution for those who find it extremely difficult to fast, such as the pregnant woman, the ill person, the musafir, and so on. The Sharia gave us a solution that they should not shorten the hours of fasting. No, they break the fast. It is allowed for them if there is an extreme difficulty, or they will become ill, or they are afraid that this fasting will harm them or harm their children. Then Sharia said, you can break your fast and make it up later. Sharia never said reduce the time of fasting. So instead of fasting 20 hours and you are obliged 20 hours, no, it will be enough for you to fast 16 hours. Imagine the ill person who is suffering from diabetes. Yeah, none of the scholars said, okay, well, for them they can fast 4 hours and then they can have the insulin or their medication. No, they said they break their fast because either you are fasting or you are not fasting. It is not in between. Yes? It is not like reduction of the salawat for rak'ah to 2 rak'ah.
And I think personally for myself, this is the the almost the scary notion in this topic, in that we're using the issue of Haraj, and some of the masjids which actually decided on this timetable, yeah, I've spoken to some of their leaders, yeah, and they actually cite this issue of Haraj. And as you mentioned, from different person to person it changes, and you're giving a general allowance to people to go eat and drink, to go to their wives, sometimes 2 hours after what yes. other people are saying all the time, which is
so allowed. this discussion has so many problems. First of all, as I said, Sharia never said you can minimize the time of fasting. Also, Sharia had said, as you rightly said, it differs from one person to another person, from one day to another day. So you cannot just give an open check for everyone to do it whenever they wherever they want. Now, see, the discussion, because I'm sure some of the people who are watching, they say, no, we are not saying this. We are not saying reducing
the let me just clarify time. For the people. I mean, the reason why I personally wanted to start off with the issue of Haraj. I mean, traditionally, you'd probably think that the best thing to start this discussion would be the how do we observe Fajr? Yeah, how do we start Fajr? What is the Shari'i sign for Fajr? And so forth, and then let's go from there. The reason why I wanted to bring up the issue of emotions, because if we can take this out of the discussion from the very beginning, then we can move on to the technical side
Excellent.
Of the discussion.
Excellent.
Yeah? So, as you said, we move on to the let's move on to the topic of how do we actually calculate? How do you observe?
Yes.
The
so
time of Fajr?
Just before that, I would like to mention that some people might say, well, we have a variety of valid opinions regarding the beginning of Fajr. So, if there is a variety of valid opinions, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then let us follow the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to go for the easiest opinion. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use the easiest opinion when he has an option. Okay, as far as it is not ethic. Now, see,
even.
The key point here, what makes an opinion a valid opinion? Because now, there are people who say, in Northern Hemisphere, we should calculate Fajr a few minutes before sunrise. Yes? They say that we need just to calculate maybe half an hour for our breakfast, etc., etc. They say we should start Fajr, we should continue our Sahur until half an hour before sunrise. And in fact, some people calculated Fajr, and I saw that myself here in London. They calculated the time of Fajr by the time of sunrise. And they say maybe we can leave just 10 minutes to pray Fajr only, because we need to pray Fajr before sunrise. Now, can we say that those opinions are valid opinions? So this is the issue. What does a valid opinion mean? What makes an opinion a valid opinion? Now, let us go to the technical issue regarding the start of Fajr. See,
I mean, a lot of people complain, especially the normal person, you know, average person, said that you have this debate between 18 degrees, 15 degrees, and all these different angles. Yeah, I mean,
yes.
With all due respect, I don't understand all these depressions of the sun and the angles and it changing from here and there. And
Excellent.
So, it's a very, very complicated issue. Isn't it the deen so simple that just the average person can go out and see?
Excellent. Let us start. That is a valid argument. Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ Eat and drink until the white thread of Fajr is distinguished from the black thread of Fajr. Okay? And we know the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kulu wa shrabu hatta yu'adhina Ibn Ummi Maktum." And Ibn Ummi Maktum was the caller for the adhan at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with Bilal. Bilal used to make the first adhan. Ibn Ummi Maktum used to make the second adhan. And Ibn Ummi Maktum, he was a blind person, and people used to tell him that the Fajr is seen now. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Fajr Fajrai," the Fajr of two types. There is the wrong Fajr or the Kadib Fajr, and there is the Subh Sadiq. The Subh Sadiq is seen on the horizon. Okay? Now we can list all the ahadith and the ayat that talk clearly, that confirm clearly that the time for Fajr, which is the time to begin the fast, yeah, is طلوع الصبح الصادق, when the true صبح appears on the horizon. All of the scholars agree on this. Yes? Generally speaking, because some people might say, well, there might be some flexibility, we can deal with that. But let us deal with it one by one. Now, because the early scholars, or at the early times, people used to go outside and look at the Fajr, as-Subh as-Sadiq. There was no pollution, whether light pollution or other types of pollution that might hinder people from seeing as-Subh as-Sadiq. Because it is not only about light pollution, but there is the air pollution, there is the aerosols
that go into the atmosphere, exactly, change the diffraction and the angle of the sun.
Yes.
I mean, some people actually say that, I've heard one colleague of mine, he actually said post Thomas Edison and in the introduction of the light bulb.
Yes.
And then our inability of looking after this planet that we've been given, we polluted its skies so much that it's now almost in the last 100-150 years, it's very difficult to see some of these.
Exactly. Things. And in fact, some people have said that our eyes, I don't know whether you refer to this or not, our eyes are unable to see the many astronomical, natural, or created signs, yes, as people in the past used to see them, because of the pollution that we are exposed to.
This brings on a question. I mean, I know some people said, look, I can go do my own observation, and they go to their back garden here in the central London,
yes,
and they do an observation and say, well, look, to be honest, I couldn't see it, but clearly it became at this time here. Yeah?
Yes.
Whereas I know certainly that people who do much more scientific observations, yeah, and that certain Fiqh Council have sent scholars and astronomers to go out and do observations, they go quite far out of the cities nowadays,
yes,
in order to make sure it's total darkness, yeah, so they can
exactly
make a true observation.
So it is not as simple as this to just to go outside and to look at it. Okay, now, see, other signs can be seen. For example, sunset, sunrise can be seen, but not always, because sometimes you might not see it because of pollution, because of clouds, and because of other reasons. Now, in this case, what to do? See, it is the rahmah of Allah Jalla wa'ala. He knows that this will happen. That's why Allah Jalla wa'ala said, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. The scholar said from this ayah, the ayah says, establish the salah, yeah, at a certain time at a certain time for Dhuhr, yes, and so on. The ayah says, establish أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ. Yes, when the sun moves, لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ, when the sun moves. My point is, the ayah says أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ. The ayah did not say establish the salah when you see the duluk. Yeah, the ayah did not say أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ, establish the salah when you see the sun moving. However, with the moon sighting issue,
yeah,
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? صُومُ لرؤيته, not لطلوعه, yes, like the ayah of مواقيت الصلاة. So there is a difference between مواقيت الصلاة and moon sighting.
So just to clarify for everyone else, what Sheikh here is mentioning is that, the, as we all know, a very, very famous discussion, and as we've had probably at the beginning of this Ramadan as well, we have different masajid starting Ramadan differently.
Yes.
Yeah, and some say you need to actually see the observation here, and some say, no, I'd follow the calculations and so forth.
Yes.
And then they use the same argument with the same thing with the prayer times and say that you need to be able to observe the observation of Fajr and you can't go through angles in these calculations.
Yes.
Whereas the Sheikh's making the point that no, there is a distinct difference from a Shari'i perspective, because the language that's been used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, yeah, that one which directs to the astronomical sign, yeah, or the astronomical movement,
yes,
yeah, which dictates when we start that particular act of ibadat. Yeah, and then from the other activity of Ibadah, which is not to do with what is astronomically done, but rather what you see to be done.
Exactly. Now, this, and by the way, this is a matter of agreement between all scholars. And in fact, it is the common sense. Why? Because If I know that Dhuhr or Fajr starts at this particular time in 1st of June, yes, it was calculated to be like this last year, then 1st of June this year, I can use the calculation that was made last year. Yeah?
Yeah,
as simple as this. I don't need to say that, no, I will not pray Fajr until I see it myself. Or I will not pray Dhuhr until I see it myself. Or I will not pray Maghrib until I see the sun setting myself. No, according to calculation, sun sets at this time, then I am obliged to act accordingly. However, if we say, according to calculation, the moon should appear at this particular time, even if calculation confirmed, supposedly, yes, I cannot rely on this because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Sumu when you see it."
Okay, I don't really want to divert into that topic because that is a different topic altogether.
So,
but I understand the reason why you brought it on.
Exactly, the difference between both. Okay, now bearing this in mind and having all what we have mentioned, okay, in mind, now we need to look ourselves. What shall we do with the Fajr start? What shall we do with
that?
I mean,
especially in countries like here in the UK, where predominantly most of the year it is cloudy.
Yes.
Yeah, you couldn't even do the observation.
Excellent. But again, I am just talking about a methodological point of view. Okay, from a methodological point of view, how to look at this mas'ala, how to look at this issue, me, you, and other people, how to look at it. See, instead of doing the research from scratch, from square one, all of us bring the ayat and the hadith and try to understand them, and then try to apply the understanding, yes, the three steps. We need to see whether this mas'ala, this issue, has been discussed by previous scholars or not. Because salah is not obliged on us now. Salah been obliged on Muslims 1400 plus years ago.
And as we know, I mean, the salah is the most important.
Exactly, and the most frequent.
The scholars of the last 1400 years wouldn't have taken it so lightly that
excellent.
They would left this whole discussion to happen in the year 2016.
Yes. Same thing with fasting. So we need to look at the previous scholars. What did they say about the application of the meaning of the hadith? We do not differ on the meanings of the hadith, but we are talking about the applications of the meanings of the hadith. We see that when the scholars from the 4th Hijra century, especially from the 4th Hijra century and mainly from the 5th Hijra century, Al-Bayruni, Al-Hasan ibn Haytham and others, they notice that it is difficult to what? To for everyone to see the Fajr. Yes, as-subh as-sadiq. They found that it is difficult because more buildings and people, now they are not like the people who were before. There is some civilization, okay? So they said that we noticed and we observed that as-subh as-sadiq, al-fajr, yeah, it starts when the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon. There are many scholars as far as, or as early as Al-Hasan ibn Haytham, Al-Bayruni and others. In fact, there was another scholar who calculated that degree as the degree for the appearance of Fajr in the by the end of the 4th Hijra century, 380-something. Yeah? And there are number of scholars who calculated the same degree in the 5th Hijra century, Al-Bayruni and Al-Hasan ibn Haytham and others. And all Muslim astronomers and all Muslim scholars agreed to that degree all over the Islamic history until very recently. I have not seen myself, and I challenge anyone, or leave the word I challenge. If anyone disagrees, let him bring a degree or a way of calculating the Fajr, yes, other than what I am mentioning. What I am saying is that all the early scholars, as early, starting the 4th Hijra century, all the way until very recently, all of them agreed that the Fajr starts when the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon, which is called 18 degrees depression.
Okay, so Sheikh,
there is no other scholar.
So Sheikh, just to quickly to summarize and bring on some questions actually that some people asked regarding this. You've said that circa 18 degrees, or 18 degrees itself, it's been a standard that has been adopted for the majority or a huge portion of the Islamic civilization, of our heritage,
yes,
until today.
Yes.
Yeah, and
in
it's
fact,
only recent
not
years
just majority. I have not seen any degree who disagrees, any scholar who disagrees with that. In fact, let me be more precise. Some scholars mentioned the 19 degrees and 20 degrees, which is what? Earlier than 18 degrees.
See, the problem here comes is,
yeah,
that
so with
people
which,
nowadays...
No, my point is, even if we say that there is a scholar who mentioned 17.5 degrees, no scholar mentioned 15 degrees, 12 degrees, or another method other than that. That is my point. So it serves...
Except during recent times.
Yeah, except in very recent times. So my point is, if all the scholars, Muslim scholars from different schools of thought, including astronomers, already calculated it like this, yes, it is like consensus, forget about consensus, but they have unanimously agreed on this.
It certainly brings to light, I mean, that those who want to adopt a new angle, new opinion, that they have the, they need to, or people who are, because to be honest, so people can understand that the timetables that are being adopted in the UK predominantly today are the much, much, much later times, which,
yes,
of 12 degrees.
Yes.
So you're literally, what we're saying is that people adopting and using this timetable are going almost going against the weight of Islamic history.
Exactly. Yeah?
Thousands and thousands,
exactly,
and thousands.
Exactly.
Of
not only that, okay, but all main fiqh councils all over the world agreed on this.
Okay, regarding these fiqh councils, you mentioned the fiqh councils. I mean, the other day when I was discussing with one of the imams, he said that, look, the majority of UK follow this timetable now. So why shouldn't we follow this? You're giving me these four or five fiqh councils, the Muslim World League, the Islamic Council of in North America, the Egyptians, the Deoband in India, and so forth. You're quoting all of these fiqh councils, but they're not here in UK.
Yeah, okay, we'll come one by one. Let us first acknowledge that Muslims, okay, as you said, throughout the Islamic history and all major fiqh councils confirmed that the Fajr should be calculated according to 18 degrees depression, okay, sun depression. Yes, let us confirm. If there is anyone who disagrees with this, let him bring it. And again, I'm not talking about someone bringing the adilla. Because all of us, we agree on the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of us, we agree on the ayah aqim salata liduluki shamsi and wakulu washrabu hatta yatabayyana lakum al-khayt al-abyad min al-khayt al-aswad min al-fajr. All of us, we agree on this, but we disagree on the application of the meanings of those on reality.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want someone to bring it clearly.
And I think,
yes,
that's a
degree,
good point.
That is different from this.
Yeah, I think that's very important to have this in the discussion, that people understand, imams understand, people who are going to do observations themselves personally. Myself, when I went to do my own observations, that what we observe, yeah, and we might come out with different results, yeah, and some of us might come around 16 degrees, 17 degrees, and so forth, yeah. And as I said, there are some people at like the Open Fajr Project and so forth, they've come out with 12 degrees, yeah?
Yeah.
Which has been adopted. When we do those observations, we need to take into consideration, almost humble ourselves, that why are we getting it different,
exactly,
from thousands and thousands of other observations? Is there something wrong, deficient? Is there something different here? I mean, that's another topic I want to bring on later on. Does the angles, so forth, are these changing through different,
yeah,
places?
Yeah, we'll
so
come
forth?
To that. But you brought a very important point. One of the brothers told me, Sheikh Albani, he witnessed Fajr, and it is different from what is adopted here. Sheikh so-and-so, Sheikh and so-and-so. I said, so can you count them? He counted a few of them, 6, 7. So I said, we have 7 scholars who said this. Yeah, and
around
is,
15 degrees, they said.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So who disagreed with 18 degrees? So I said to him, So yani, it is difficult for you to imagine that these seven scholars made a mistake. But it is easy for you to imagine that hundreds of scholars throughout Islamic history, not just recently, throughout Islamic history, made a mistake.
So, brothers,
so that is the point.
One of the things I'd like you also to do, I want you to do, I mean, I've been asked by Islam31c.com to help host this this discussion. But if you do go to their website, you'll find many articles on this topic. And some of them actually detail what the different angles that the different fiqh councils around the world have adopted. I mean, and and all of them are...
Adopted 18. Egyptians adopted 19.
I mean, the Islamic... one thing that's quoted oftly and incorrectly is that the Islamic Council the Islamic Council in North America, ISNA, adopted 15 degrees.
Yes.
But just to clarify that, it is clarified in some of the articles that in 2011 in September, they changed their opinion to adopt 17.5 degrees.
Exactly.
So the point being is, giving away here a half a degree, the scope of the discussion has always been around 18.
Yes.
It hasn't actually been come any further than down than that. There have been, as you said, a number of scholars, a handful of scholars, you count on your right hand, who have disagreed with 18, for example, in Saudi Arabia, and they said 15 degrees is closer to the truth for them. And as you said, I think rightly, it makes sense logically that to discount everyone's observations for a handful of people, we really need to make that be wary about that and have to take responsibility of those who make the decision of timetables. But hang on, I'm actually taking a very, 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 very minority opinion.
Yes, especially, Akhi, especially. Now, this is a message to the Muslim the committees of the Masajid. Yeah, that's why I issued my fatwa previously, a few years ago, that even if the committee of the masjid, for whatever reason, believe in another degree other than 18 degrees, they are obliged to tell people that the vast majority of Muslim scholars go for 18 degrees. I'm really very surprised of the attitude of many masajid committees, that they are taking the matter lightly. It is related to the ibadah of people. Myself, when I started to discuss this issue, many people said to me, Sheikh Khaytham, why don't you go? We can go for observation. I said to them, no, I will not go for observation. Why do I need to go for observation? And I see all these councils and all these scholars unanimously agreeing on a certain degree. I don't want to go because I don't want to doubt all of these. I want to humble myself, okay? And in Islamic jurisprudence, no one can say, no, I want to dig from scratch. I want to start the discussion from scratch.
Wipe
and
the slate
ignore,
clean.
Yes.
Exactly. You wipe the slate clean and think, you know what, I understand astronomy better than before. And I'd like to mention this at this point, if you don't
mind. And I want to ignore all these scholars.
I mean, I think people will agree with me, as well. And I'm sure most of us understand that most of us don't know much what's going up above our heads.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't know what star is this, what is that's a star. I mean, a lot of people saying to me, oh, look, I can see a star in the middle of the day. Yeah, so that's not a star, that's a planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is that.
I mean, the irony was that 2 days ago, at the beginning of Ramadan, and on my local masjid in Leytonstone, there was a group of uncles, they were looking out in the sky to see for the new moon.
Yes.
And I was walking to come in to pray Maghrib, and as we're standing there, we're looking, and they were looking attentively to see if they could see the new moon, inshallah.
Yes.
Yeah, they were happy, they were accepting Ramadan had started.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to see for themselves.
Yeah.
And I had to stop them and I said, but, sorry uncle, but the moon is not in that direction.
Yes.
It's in the other direction
there.
But not to put people down, it's just that in reality today, most of us don't know what's going on above us. Yeah?
Yes.
So, and back in a century or plus ago, people didn't have GPS units, they didn't have these things. They had to know how to direct themselves at night time and follow the stars. So naturally, the people before us and scholars before us who came from a more nomadic lifestyle had a better understanding of ilm al-falak, of astronomy.
And by the way, what you mentioned is quite important because this provides an answer for this argument. Oh, is the Fajr start or the beginning of Fajr? Is it as difficult as this? Is it impossible to witness? Is it like that? And we say, no, it is not difficult. But because of the lifestyle, because of our maybe our weaknesses, we are unable to witness it as clearly.
And on top of that, as you mentioned, was. Yeah, and on top of that, as we mentioned before, and I was going to talk about right at the end of this discussion, was the introduction of light pollution, of aerosols and other pollutants in the sky, just the horizon being filled with buildings, yeah,
yes,
and so forth. It does become, in this day and age, very difficult to actually see,
yeah,
that horizon. Now, if we can move the discussion a bit further forward now.
Okay, so let us confirm that the conclusion that 18 degrees is the degree for calculating Fajr time, the beginning of Fajr.
Well, it's the angle which the majority of the Ummah over history has adopted to calculate Fajr.
I can say, maybe you are being more diplomatic in saying the majority. I can confirm it is the matter that all the Ummah agreed upon. Yeah? It is only recently where some scholars disagreed with this. Only recently. And that's why this annoys me and this hurts me. Those scholars who started this discussion, yes, we had enough as an ummah. We have so many disagreements. We have a lot of fitna. We have so many sects and groups, etc., etc. I'm really wondering why those scholars, yeah, unwisely started this discussion on a matter that the ummah has been established over, the ummah agreed on, yes? And that's why we are suffering from the fitna that they started.
Yeah.
And that's why, see, from a methodological perspective, if the person follows the mainstream of the Ummah, yeah, the mainstream views of the Ummah, then this fitna that we see, disagreements, etc., and weakness of the Ummah, wouldn't take place.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to dwell too much more on this point. I want to move on to the rest of the discussion, but it's this exact same point that some of these imams are using. They're saying, look, it's not because we brought this issue up because Ramadan is now in the summer and it's really difficult and we're scared for our people and so forth, even though I've heard that being said by some imams. But they're saying that, no, look, you're talking about the general and what the ummah is following. Here in the UK, the majority of mosques now have adopted this timetable, which has, at the very least, one fiqh council, the European fiqh council of Sheikh Qardawi, for example, who's said that 12 degrees is fine. Yeah. So why can they not follow this opinion?
Yeah, good. First of all, if we talk about the vast majority and those brothers or those imams accept the vast majority, then we tell them, why do you accept the vast majority of Britain rather than the vast majority of the whole ummah? Yeah, this is the question. What the Shari'i reason gives you that that we need to follow the vast majority of scholars in Britain, which is a country, a political country that was formed recently?
I mean, if I can play advocate here, yeah. What I would argue to that is that London is in a very, or UK in particular, is in a very unique location. Its location is further north than Toronto in Canada. It's further north than Moscow,
mm-hmm,
than Beijing in China. It's one of the most northern, with a large population of Muslims,
okay,
residing there. Yeah. So, is there not a possibility that the times that are being adopted do change for our people here?
No. See, we need to. There are two things. Can we say that the ijma' of the Londoners is a valid ijma'? This is one thing, or the ijma' of British Muslims is a valid ijma'. This is one thing. The other thing is, can we say that the degree varies from one place to another place? These are two things. Now, the first point, which is the ijma' of the Londoners, of the Muslim Londoners or British Muslims, is it a valid ijma' to say that we need to follow that and neglect the ijma' of the entire ummah? This is nonsense. Yeah, this is laughable. No one can say, well, because most of the Muslims in the UK, they adopted this degree, we need to adopt this degree. But this is different from the moon sighting. The moon sighting, because the Prophet ﷺ said, fast when you all fast. Fast when you all fast.
Mm.
That is a different issue. But in terms of prayer timing, no, we cannot say that Muslims in the UK, they adopted this, so we need to adopt this. This is one thing. First of all, the second point is, not all Muslims in the UK or most of them adopted this. Look, some people adopted the seven masajid in London, they adopted 244. Yeah?
Today's time is 244.
Yes, today. 244. Some other masajid, they adopted 3 something. Some other masajid, they adopted 220. Yeah?
Yeah.
And
one's a high wiccan.
Yes. Yeah. And there is a large portion of the masajid, number of masajid, they adopted the 18 degrees. In fact,
including Marcus Dewsbury, which is the head of the Dioband here in the UK.
Exactly. In fact, there are many masajid south of London, they adopted 18 degrees. I remember asking Sheikh Riyad al-Haq last, maybe 2 years ago. He said, when we were young, yeah, we were fasting during summer. We were fasting Ramadan during summer.
In the early hours, 1 o'clock.
In the early hours. And he said, we used to pray Fajr and go to bed, yes, and then go to school directly. Yeah? That was adopted here widely. In fact, it is still adopted here widely, not in London, but in other places. So you can't say that, well, the vast majority of Muslims in the UK, they are fasting according to this. No, they have different degrees, and they have different
so
timings. Let me go to the issue of the Fiqh Council, the European Council for Fatwa, Sheikh Qaradawi one. Yeah? Now, I want the brothers who I have not seen. I sat with many people because I've been discussing this issue. Most of the brothers who are discussing this, they are discussing it from an emotional perspective, not from a scientific perspective, nor from a methodological perspective. Now, the 12 degree, yeah, which was adopted by the European Council for Fatwa, Sheikh Qaradawi's one. What did they do? They appointed Sheikh Muhammad al-Hawari or Dr. Muhammad al-Hawari to discuss, to research and to do a study on this mas'ala. Muhammad al-Hawari, rahimahullah, he died recently, a few months ago. Yeah? Rahimahullah. He was a member of the Fiqh Council as well, the Fiqh Council of Mecca. Muhammad al-Hawari, rahimahullah, what did he do? And his study is published in the journal of the European Council for Fatwa. I think it is in the 6th or 7th volume. In there, he said, all Muslim scholars agreed that the timing for Fajr should be calculated on 18 degrees. And same thing is the timing for Isha. He confirmed himself. Then, by the end of that research, what did he do? He said, but in Northern Hemisphere, 18 degrees makes the Shar'i signs disturbed. The Fajr sign disappears and the Isha time disappears as well. But he said, according to 18 degrees, the Fajr sign is clear and the Isha sign is clear.
For the rest of the year.
For the rest of the year and during the summertime.
Okay.
So he said, so if we adopt 12 degrees for the rest of the year, then the Shar'i sign will be clear. So why not to adopt? So he made ijtihad now. Okay? And by the way, he is not a Shar'i scholar. He is specialized in mathematics or something like this. Yeah? Or engineering. He's not a Shar'i scholar. But he made a Shar'i ijtihad. He said, because the Shar'i sign appears throughout the year, if we calculate the Fajr time according to 12 degrees, so let us adopt 12 degrees. Not only for the period of difficulty,
the whole year,
but for the whole year. Yeah? And then he said, well, this makes the ibadah easier for people, etc., etc. The Fiqh Council, the European Council for Fatwa, unfortunately, they liked this conclusion, and they said, well, as it is a valid opinion, I don't know how they concluded that it is a valid opinion, then we need to grab on it, and Sharia is based on ease, and we need to make the salah easy, the ibadah and the fasting easy for people. So they concluded 12 degrees, and they are the only, that council is the only council in the world that adopted 12 degrees.
And I mean, this brings up, we're getting a number of questions regarding people asking you to comment on this Open Fajr project and so forth as well. But I think you've already, to be honest, without mentioning them by name, we've highlighted this topic. So for the viewers to know that what Sheikh has mentioned quite clearly is that to adopt these new research projects and these new attempts to wipe the slate clean and go and do their own personal observations and come out with different times, to either confirm the previous times or make up their own new times. If these organizations, these obviously, I'm sure they are well-intentioned projects, can at least understand that the fact that they've gone against the wealth of or the weight of thousands of years of research,
yes,
that their solitary positions that they've come to, they really take that into contrast. And even if they were to put that view across, they really should tell people, by the way, our opinion
excellent.
Is very, very different from what the weight of Islamic history
exactly.
is.
Exactly. This is really very ironic, and it shows that people are not following a proper methodology in understanding and implementing Islam. How? A person comes up with an opinion, or a group of people, they come up with an opinion, and they believe in that opinion, and they make that opinion as the correct opinion, and they just neglect the opinion or the opinions of the entire Ummah.
Yeah.
And they want people to adopt their opinion, and they promote their opinion as the truth, the only truth.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If your brothers and sisters, if you can go back to the Islamic21c.com website, you'll actually see some of the tables there which tell you what angles the different fiqh councils in the world have adopted, and all of them are circa 18 degrees. Yeah, and just to move now on to, just quickly, because we're running out of time, I wanted to highlight the issue regarding unified prayer timetables. In previous years, in the last, as you said, it's a recent issue where the time cables have been changing, or the discussion of over 18 degrees has become an issue. Even that discussion, say with Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, Sheikh Kathlan in Saudi Arabia, and a few other mashayikh around the world, who have said that we think it's a bit too early, that's closer to the Fajr al-Kadhib, it's more around 15 degrees. Yeah. So, in my own personal discussions with many of the imams who have adopted unified prayer time, and some students of knowledge, they were under the assumption that they were following at least a scholar that they trusted implicitly of 15 degrees. So they assume that the unified prayer timetable is 15 degrees.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite evidently true, the case. I mean, for those who don't know, today, if you are following the 15 degree opinion, the time for Fajr here in London would be 1:36 a.m.
Yes, yes.
But the time that actually in the unified prayer timetable was 2:44 a.m.
Yes.
If we use the calculations and backtrack, we actually find the whole unified prayer timetable, as you mentioned, from the European Fiqh Council, is not based on 15, it's based on 12.
Yes.
Which is so far out of the scope of the discussion,
yes,
that it borders almost absurdity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is not a valid opinion.
Even now, the majority of people in the UK are following it, that has no justification,
yes,
by following such a strange,
yes,
minority opinion.
Exactly, and it is not, alhamdulillah, it is not the majority of the Muslims in the UK, as we said, are following it, and it is not a valid opinion at all.
Yeah. So what do we say? I mean, I don't want to put people on the spot, but when the head of the Dioband, I remember a sheikh mentioned that, Sheikh Takhtamani mentioned that when he's consulted the Dioband.
I asked him myself. By the way, this is a misconception. Some people say that the ulama of Pakistan adopted 15 degrees. The council for, I remember exactly now the name of the council in Pakistan, they adopted 18 degrees. I asked Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani myself. I said to him, what do the scholars in Pakistan follow? He said, 18 degrees. I said to him, what do you believe, you, Sheikh? He said, I follow 18 degrees as well.
And that's the ulama from Dioband themselves, they all adopt, with all the thousands of masajid, millions and hundreds of thousands of masajid around the world, follow 18.
In fact, it is an interesting point. As far as I know, either I can confirm or I can confirm that. I can confirm that the vast majority of the Muslim world, Arab countries, official timetables adopt 18 degrees. I can confirm that it is the majority. If there is another country that disagrees with that, I don't know of any country.
I mean, some people have quoted, like some masajid, I think I know of one or two masjids in London, who follow this, they follow Saudi Arabia's position that Isha is 90 minutes after Maghrib and Fajr is 90 minutes before sunrise.
No, that is not true.
The whole year.
That is not true. Let me clarify this. Okay, first of all, Saudi or Umm Al Qura, let us talk technically. Umm Al Qura timetable, they adopted 90 minutes not as a start for Isha, as the Salah for Isha. None of the scholars said that if a lady, for example, wants to pray before 90 minutes, yeah, when the time, the actual time for Isha starts, her Salah is invalid because she did not follow the Umm Al Qura calendar. Yes, this is one thing. Now, with regards to Fajr, Umm Al Qura calendar did not fix 90 minutes.
Yes, I mean, I myself personally, last year when I checked this up myself, the 90 minutes, even the 90 minutes, because Saudi Arabia, Mecca, is in a unique position near the equatorial region, in the Tropic of Cancer area, that its time doesn't change much throughout the whole year.
Yes.
Now, 90 minutes is actually equivalent to effectively 18 degrees.
You mean for Isha?
Yes, for Isha, even for Fajr. Yeah, I mean the time that they have
follows
18 degrees.
But
strictly 90 minutes.
Yes, but for Fajr they did not fix it on 90 minutes at all. No, they did. Sometimes it is 80. You can check it. It is available online. Sometimes it is 80 minutes all the way until I think 90 something.
But at the end of the day, the variation. Yeah, that misconception is that Umm Al Qura or the Meccan calendar actually follows 18 degrees.
No,
it does.
It does follow 18 degrees, but there is a difference between Umm Al Qura and Rabita. Yes? Umm Al Qura fixed 19 minutes for Isha time. Yes? Rabita, they did not fix the 19 minutes. Otherwise, both of them follow 18 degrees. In fact, all fiqh councils, except from the European Fiqh Council, adopted 18 degrees. I want to say one more thing about, you know, as you mentioned the issue of Mecca. You know, some people say we need to follow Mecca in terms of the beginning of the Fajr. Yeah? And we say, no, that is not right. Why to follow Mecca? Each country has its own astronomical signs. So the time, for example, in the southern hemisphere, people fast maybe 10 hours. Yeah? Here, on the northern hemisphere, we fast longer hours. In Mecca, the timing is different. Hence, okay, the start of Fajr for Mecca, it is for Mecca, not for us here to follow, nor it should be followed by the people in the southern hemisphere. And one more point. Some people say, well, the norm of the time between Fajr and sunrise is 1 hour and maybe 30 minutes, like 90 minutes. We say, where is this norm? Where is this norm? Maybe this norm is in Mecca, but not here. Because here, the length of the day is quite long. Is the totally different from Mecca.
For people,
you cannot use
for people to understand,
Meccan
I mean, in the equatorial region, the differences between the different degrees, 18 to 15, is a matter of about 40 minutes.
Exactly.
But over here...
No, it is maybe 15, 20 minutes maximum.
20 minutes, right, 20 minutes, So, but as you go further and further north, those things get much wider. So for the layperson, like most of us here, who don't understand that, I mean, simply put, the time between Fajr and Dhuhr in the Middle East is much shorter than here in the UK.
Exactly.
Because the day gets much longer than over here. Yeah.
Let us move, Mahmoud.
Can I just summarize quickly?
Yeah.
We only got about 10 more minutes left, so let's clarify a couple of things as we come down on the issue. So we started off with the issue of Haraj, of difficulty. Yeah. We said this isn't part of the discussion. Yeah. And we shouldn't kind of use this as a tool to put my perspective as the best opinion. Yeah. Because it's very subjective. It's very different position. And I think most students of knowledge actually, when they come to this issue, they try and steer away from this discussion.
Yes.
Because they know it's opening a huge can of worms.
Yes.
Yeah. But unfortunately, some of the masajid, they use this as an answer straight away. And I think that's something we need to take away from the discussion. We don't want it to be a Muslim discussion.
Yeah.
The second thing we went over is regarding mushahada, observations, or using these angles. Yeah. I think we made it quite clear that
the angle is
based on the observation.
Mushahada.
Yeah, so it's not...
But a global mushahada rather than a mushahada of a group of people doing now.
And that's the third point I wanted to come on, was that we can summarize that what we're trying to say here is that you can do your own observations. But if your own observations or your groups of observations are going against the vast majority, if not the absolute ijma consensus of the rest of this ummah from the beginning of Islamic history, then we need to take that into account and think, hang on, maybe I've got this observation. The sign that I'm actually coming to see is wrong. Because personally, I've gone to see myself and I've seen it around, I think around 17, but maybe there was a bit of a cloud there. I'm thinking it's maybe it could have been 18. Yeah. And another person has gone and done the same thing, so now I clearly think it's 12 and a half.
And by the way, there is a group of scholars who went somewhere up north, and they found it to be between 17 and 18.
Yeah, a couple of us went to Whitby, for example, Whitby Bay in London, outside.
So the mushahada, you cannot say that this mushahada is the correct one. Okay, why? Because there are other people who made mushahada and confirmed.
And
that
not
it
only
is
other people, the absolute the weight of the number of people doing it has to be taken into perspective when coming to decide I must decide this thing. And then the fourth thing to clarify, that the mistaken the confusion that some imams and some students in Orange believe the unified prayer timetable is adopting 15 degrees. When in fact they're conflating it with the issue because it's actually 12 degrees. And I think when I mentioned that to some people, and some people understand that, they take a step back because they now realize that this time is far away from the actual time which scholars have differed on. So to be practical speaking, for the average person that doesn't know about all the times, we're talking about between at the moment, at this present time, between 18 degrees, or because you can't see 18 degrees, but between the people who have adopted the 18 degree opinion and the actual Shari'i sign for 15 degrees, there's a difference of a half an hour.
Maximum
in fact, by the 21st of June, the longest day of the year, the time for 15 degrees in London goes all the way back to 1:08 a.m. Yeah, so it's very similar now to the 18 degree position because of the ijtihad that is taken when the Shari'i sign disappears, which we'll come to now, inshallah. We'll talk about this topic.
So, in fact, I would like to mention one point here. Many people who believe in 18 degrees, they use non-scientific methods in calculating 18 degrees. And I have to say, I don't like to mention names, but you know Islamic Finder, many people go and take the prayer time from Islamic Finder, and they say that it adopts 18 degrees, and I checked it myself, Islamic Finder, for many countries, in many places, for many countries or many places, many times it is not accurate.
And I mean that's, I think, the problem with people using their mobile phones and the apps that are there and so forth. I mean, there are a number of actual astronomical resources that people can use. One very, very very basic one which people could use is go to the HMNAO, Almanac Observation Society, the government project, and they've actually got prayer times there. You can actually work out what 18 and 15 from that is.
Now some brothers, they have introduced a very good website, mawaqit.com. Very good website.
This website, mawaqit.com. I'm sure the brothers maybe can post out the website details. It was it's been put together by a number of scholars who have been looking over the project. My brother Ridwan is one of the key people who designed the site. It is a bit technical. It is. I assume it is a bit technical. When you suddenly open it up, it's not your standard timetable. It's got all the different angles you can put in and so forth.
But in general,
someone who has a bit of know-how in your community, you could actually look at that time, put your exact coordinates of your masjid there, and you can work out what 18 degrees, what 15 degrees is. And even
18 degrees only.
You can work it out to show what the differences are. But obviously, going back to the discussion, 18 degrees being the standard being used.
I want to mention,
brothers, that's the standard that they actually adopt.
And by the way, they are Westerners. So no one can say, well, they are living somewhere in the world they don't know. I want to mention another point, which is very important. During persistent twilight, we do?
So just if I can start the topic before we go into this issue. it's a much more technical discussion. That's why I want to leave this right at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, we wanted to first go over the issue of what the Ummah has united upon, effectively,
yes.
Yeah, and how they've come to that uniting on that position, to moving on to this issue very briefly, which is much more technical. As we get further north up in the northern hemisphere, the sun, before
yes.
sunrise, before it comes above the horizon, comes from way down and then comes up, 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 up,
yes.
above hits the horizon when it's sunrise.
Yes.
But if we take 18 degrees
yes.
as the position of which the angle of the sun
yes.
is where because when the sun is still below the horizon, there's light coming up
yes.
across the horizon, it's shooting up through
yes.
the sky.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's where we get the khayt al-abyad, the white thread appearing,
yes.
the shadi thread.
And
but the problem for UK and some northern hemisphere countries
yes.
is that the sun, during the long summer periods,
does
sometimes
not.
Never goes below 18 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah, so therefore what happens is, and I'm sure if anyone, forget in the city,
yes.
because you have too much light pollution, but
yes.
if you yourself today,
yes.
just today even, go out of London to a dark area, maybe down to Southend, and look out into the sea, you will see a red tinge in the whole sky the whole night.
Throughout the whole night.
And that red, because that indicates that the sky never goes totally black.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the fact that light doesn't go totally black means that the sun hasn't actually gone further down than 18, which would make the situation totally black. So this is period, which is called, and it happens for differing lengths of time, so as further north as you go. Lasts in UK
yes.
for around a month and a half, 2 months.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called persistent twilight. So now the Shari'i sign, the actual visible sign for Fajr, doesn't appear. And now there's another discussion of how do we now calculate in this period
exactly.
the time for Fajr.
Yes. By the way, this period, sorry, this area starts from latitude of 48, 33 latitude. Now, during this period, as you have explained, the sun does not go.
It's got 5 minutes. Yes,
okay, no problem. Quickly, the sun doesn't go below more than 18 degrees below the horizon, which means that the twilight of the sun is always there above the horizon. It can be seen. Now, the sun. The earth is moving, yeah, but we say metaphorically that the sun is moving, yeah, but it is the earth that is moving. Now, when the earth is moving, the sun, before the sun, after Maghrib, is moving from west towards east, okay, and then it comes from the east. So the twilight of the sun can be divided into two twilights. The twilight from Maghrib to the middle of the solar to the middle of the solar night. And then the sun starts to appear from the east. So actually the twilight of the sun from the east is actually the Fajr. That's why the Fajr should be calculated by the middle of the solar night.
And
that is the beginning of the Fajr.
I mean, I'm sure this
and
is,
it
this
is explained,
gonna,
by
sure
the
this,
way.
Yeah, sorry. I'm,
yeah, this is explained. There is, if you Google, there is a YouTube clip by Brother Patel. It is actually in the Mawaqid.
Yeah.
There is a reference for it in the Mawaqid.com. And that clip, it is like a 9 minutes clip, explains this point that
yeah.
I have
so, I mean,
explained.
We only got a minute left,
yes.
so let me finish, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for being with us today, inshallah, and going over this topic. So just to clarify very quickly, that this, I'm sure that last part on persistent twilight went over most people's heads. But if you want more details on it, then go to mawaqid.com. There's a link to a YouTube video. They explain those details. Or islam21c.com, and they have other discussions where you can put your points there and you can see the information clarified there. But at this point, and for that period, the scholars have actually decided, for those who follow 18 degrees, which is the majority of the world, in these climates, in this persistent twilight period and so forth, the Muslim World League and others have come across, and they've actually given fatawa on how we can pray Fajr in this time.
Yes.
Yeah? So we can go back to those opinions and so forth. As I said, the timetables, you can find them on islam21c.com. for London, it's around 1 o'clock now at the moment, one today, I think, I believe, which is vastly different from 2:45. So I implore people watching this and so forth, if you have any doubt in the timetable that you are following, yeah, then number one, for yourself personally, steer with caution. And number two, please push your committees, your massages and so forth, and ask them, why are we following this time when the weight of Islamic history seems to be going against us, inshallah? Yeah, we can all go do our own observations, but again, if it goes against the weight of history, then is this really what we should be doing, inshallah? I know this discussion is coming, comes only during Ramadan, and I hope it isn't just Ramadan. Yeah, it's something
exactly
which goes on throughout the whole
because
of the year.
Because there are people who fast throughout the whole year.
And this discussion, I hope it doesn't come back only in 33 years' time when
yes.
it comes back again. But the next couple of years we'll be going through the same problem. And I implore our masajid and so forth that please, let's get away from the emotional discussion of haraj and so forth. If you want to go on mashabka, that's a completely different discussion. Sit down and have your discussions and that regards. But let's come together at least and unify on a time which the rest of the world is unified on, inshallah.
Lastly, maybe we can have another episode to discuss this issue of persistent twilight.
Yeah, inshallah. If you have more questions, please do send them through. Inshallah, what we'll do is we'll collate them. I've been getting lots of questions already from the Islam 3.1c, passing them forward. But we've hopefully answered most of these questions. There were some ilmi questions regarding, is it sinful to follow the other time and these kinds of things, so forth, inshallah. Hopefully in another episode, we'll go over those issues and we'll answer those questions, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.